you know, when you, before you had televisions, before you had radios, what did small communities let circulate over and over and over again? All the bad stuff that happened. People couldn't lift their heads up, couldn't do things in public because everybody's pointing and looking. It's the way of the world, whether it's gossip, whether it's, somebody was fornicating, had a baby out of wedlock, whatever the case, you know, was, that's the thing that stuck with people. That's the thing that they wanted to talk about over tea.
Drama.
You know, right. It's just human nature. To not only be attracted to what bad thing this person did or didn't do, but to circulate it. And we don't think about, you know, if that were you, would you want somebody to keep talking about it over and over and over again? Would you want to be forgiven? Would you want, you know, the grace, to be given another chance? But we like that type of stuff. It's just been the way of the world, you know, for time immemorial.
Yeah. You know, but my thing is, what drives the human psyche, the psychology to want that? Because you have, I'm going to give you another example. You've got a phone call from one of your friends and they're going to tell you, I have a lot of friends, especially with my fraternity, that they go out and my, sisters, sister fraternity, sorority rather, and they would talk about the good things that they're doing in the communities. Like they'll go out and they'll go to, food banks, homeless shelters. They will, clean up, my brother, with his, chapter of the frat, he would go to a certain city and at Petersburg, I'm going to say Petersburg because he went to Virginia State College, and they would do street cleaning. Every month they'll go out and they will go on street cleaning duty. And now, my same brother in his chapter, they'll go out and they will, go to food banks, and things of that nature, homeless shelters, clothing shelters. I mean, clothing banks and things of that nature. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so say, for instance, let's say you have, and you're excited about something you've done as far as, feeling good and you want to get other people involved. Mm-hmm. All right. And you call up certain friends. Now, not everyone is like this, but you call up certain friends. They would rather hear about the latest gossip. Mm-hmm. Versus something that someone has done something to benefit humanity.
Right.
I want to go to Dr. Demery first, and then Dr. Demery, and then I want to go to you too, Mike, because in both of your experiences, you had to deal with people, not only with people, but you had to wonder and study maybe the psychology of what motivated these people to do whatever they've done. Both of you were in law enforcement, and Mike, I know as an investigator, you know, you had to ask questions. So you have a lot of experience about dealing with human psychology, okay? Mm-hmm. Dr. Demery, in your experiences, you have to deal with human, the human psyche, psychology. What drives people more to want to hear the bad instead of the good? They want to hear the ugly versus someone who's doing something that is beneficial. What drives the human mind to want to listen to the negative part of what's going on versus, you know, the good that people are doing? Dr. Demery, I'd love to hear from you.
Well, I would comment, and this is going back
and then
about
Mike.
Minutes ago when we were talking about you saying that you were frustrated the way that people act sometimes. And there was a report that I was reading. I'm not going to read it. But one of this report was saying that the majority, probably somewhere upwards around 60% of the United States reads at a sixth grade level.
Wow.
Well, wow, that's now, if you're dealing with people that are reading on a sixth grade level,
wow.
I mean, Jay and what's your other son's name, man?
Alex.
And Alex have a higher intellectual capability and capacity.
Right. Right.
I mean, that is true.
Right there.
Right.
So if people are reading at sixth grade or below level and comprehension level, they're as dumb as a box of rocks. And so how do you appeal to people that are at that intellectual level?
That's right.
And so they are easily manipulated. They are easily swayed. They are easily convinced to follow some nut, you know,
right.
Some lunatic. And that's part of the problem right there.
We
don't get out, and we're exception to the rule here on this show, which there are people that don't get out, and Ann's probably had them come past her, and she's seen him in the courtroom. Just as dumb as a box. You know? And part of that is, you know, how do you appeal to those kinds of people? Sometimes you have to get down on their level. I mean, here's one quick example. We were talking about God and the existence of God. Here's one quick example, and this is kind of the level that I preach off of, because I'm a inductive preacher, not a deductive preacher. Mm-hmm. Now, here's the thing. I heard my mom telling a story once that there was this, I happened to be sitting in on a Bible study that she was doing at New Hope. And there was this one lady in there that was a real, you know, protagonist. She said, mm-hmm. How do you know that there's a God? You can't prove to me that there's no God. I don't believe that there's no God.
Oh.
My mom said, you know how that there's a God? Just like you know if your man is cheating on you or not. So, you know, a lot of that is intuitive, mm-hmm. and we have to reach people on the level that they're at. So you have to be very cognizant of the audience that you're speaking to. Mm-hmm. When Mike was interviewing a lot of people during his investigation, he had to be aware of, I hope that he was, aware mm-hmm. of the intellectual capacity of the people that he was dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that had a lot to do with, I'm sure, some of his investigation. And that has a lot to do with, you know, where and when and who I'm preaching to. And this may sound racist, but I don't mean it to be. I cannot preach to black folks the same way that I preach to white folks.
Preach, preacher.
I just can't. I just can't. You know? And so the thing is, you said, well, you should be able to preach to everybody the same way. No, it don't work like that. It don't work like that. So the point being is this. If you're dealing with someone that's on a sixth grade reading level and comprehension level, mm-hmm. that says a whole lot to the audience that you're speaking to.
Mm-hmm.
Trump and Biden are both speaking to people that are on a sixth grade reading level and comprehension level for the most part. So those people don't read. They don't sit down and discuss with other people. They don't sit down and have discussions like we do here on this show. They don't get a chance to talk to a lawyer like Ann or a former, you know, retired investigator like Mike or a stockbroker like William, you know, and vis-a-vis having discussions and not yelling and hollering and screaming at one another and mm-hmm. Calling each other names, you know. There was a time in this country, you remember back when Tip O'Neill was Speaker of the House, mm-hmm. he would go out and have golf or have lunch with his Republican counterpart. And they mm-hmm. would sit down and discuss and have coffee. Nowadays, if you do that, you're considered a heretic.
Right.
And so we've gotten away from that whole thing of just sitting down and discussing. Because when we sit down and discuss things, we'll realize that we have a lot more in common. A lot more in common that we do have differences. There's always going to be some differences here and there. But mm-hmm. we would find, I think, to a great extent, we have a lot more in common. And even me and Dumb Donald, if we sat down and talked, mm-hmm. realize that we
that,
have...
That would not go well.
Well,
don't ever do it.
I am willing to believe that we would have some things in common that we could discuss and talk about. I don't know, maybe the little boy was right. He ain't learned nothing. He is
I can just see that conversation. Yeah, after you got past the point of we're human, we have blood, we breathe air, we eat food. I can just see it going downhill from.
But even that, I've given the man the benefit of the doubt that we would have some things in common that we could talk about without calling each other names or pointing the finger at one another, and that. If we just sat down and just discussed on a human level, you know, free of intellectualism, we could talk is a whole other subject. I'm just talking about two individuals sitting down and talking and discussing things and being able to iron out, hey, you know, we've got some differences, but we have a whole lot in common, too.
Yeah.
And
that's just part of the problem. There's more other pieces of the discussion. You know, Mike has some things I know he want to say, and but that's just one piece, William, and that's my take.
Right. You know, and Mike, I want him to jump right in. I have to say, Dr. Demery, being able to have a discussion with him, that could be a stretch there, brother. That's all I want to say. That could be quite a stretch. You're right. But it also takes a couple of things. Let me back up 1 second. Mike, I promise I'm going to give it to you. Most people, even in sixth grade, they can read what's on the paper. Okay, but reading to understand, reading to comprehend.
There you go.
Comprehend, yes.
Is a whole different thing. And it also, Dr. Demery, the only little pushback that I have here is that if we want to sit down and have a conversation, then we both need to be open to having that conversation. And if you are the type of person, even to the point of being maybe a narcissist, and if you refuse to hear my point of view and only your point of view count, then it's kind of hard for me to say that we have, I don't know what we have in common.
It makes you a zealot.
Yeah, if I'm willing to, because let's say, for instance, I am absolutely, I don't care. If, let's say, I sit down with David Duke, okay? And if he were to be honest.
I want to be a fly on the wall on that one.
Boy, I'm going to tell you. we might have to call the security. Okay, but the point that if he's willing to be honest, okay, and he can ask me questions, and let me ask him. Ask me, William, where do your beliefs come from? And what we try to do on this program right here, and that's why I started off with that slime ball, Bob Menendez. I don't care if he is a Democrat. I really don't. If you're a slime ball, you're a slime ball. And we get back. Evil people. I agree with that. But as racist as this cat is, okay, I would want to know, why do you feel that way? Okay? And why are you saying these things? And what do you have to back up what you're saying? And he can ask me the same question. And in order for us to have a productive, valuable conversation, I would have to be honest, and he's going to have to be honest. But if he's just refusing or because you black, okay, well, you white.
Well, that could be, but William, that could be an honest response. There are some
people and it's fine.
Don't like because of what they look like.
You have some people don't like people because they're overweight.
Or because of their gender.
Or because their height. You know what? These people got too much time on their hand. You think about it. I'm going to just look at you, Mike. I don't like that dude because he's white. How stupid is that?
But my hair looks good.
I can see you just had your hair did, didn't you?
Stop it. You have got to stop.
I told you, my secret, it takes me about 30 minutes to do my hair, and my secret,
what's
don't tell anybody else, my secret is moose.
Oh my God.
Moose. No. I'm telling you.
Yeah, I see the moose. I can see the moose. I can see that. Hey, Ann.
Yeah.
This is a sample of what me, Mike and I do on Thursdays. It is absolutely hilarious. We refuse. We don't talk about the stuff we talk about on Boomerang, because sometimes, I mean, what we do on the show, we have fun. We try to intermingle a little humor or whatever it is on the Boomerang. But on Thursday nights, it is just all fun and laughter. We don't want to talk about politics.
It's a circus. It's a circus.
And Mike is the ringmaster.
Hard about that.
But it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. And it's your turn, Mike. And Mike and I, it's a lot of stuff, especially politically, we don't agree with. But guess what? We're able to have a conversation about it. And when we walk away, neither one of us are angry about anything.
And you're still friends.
Oh. That,
but that's the difference.
You that don't is have the difference. That. So why
that's
can't...
It's a lot nowadays.
You know, I would say, hey, Mike, you want to run... I'll tell you what. We can. I don't care. I'll be president, you be VP, or I'll be VP, you be president. How about 2028?
We can be co-presidents.
Hey, look here. I tell you what.
Not Mike, in this country.
I'll guarantee you.
And ivory.
I'll guarantee you.
Oh, come on. It'd be good, Ann.
Yes, it would. Ann, I tell you what. You don't think that Mike and I can do a better job than what's going on now?
I'm saying that you can't be co-presidents. Now, there can be a president and a vice president, but co-presidents? And do I think you will do a better job than President Biden? And neither one of you have any political experience? No. I love you. I love you both.
And that's your opinion. All right, Mike, you were talking, Mike.
I mean, you've got two people who are veteran politicians as president.
Yeah,
and that's
president.
Part of the problem.
Yeah,
right
and how is that working for us?
Because Trump didn't have any experience, and I think he turned things. We're still dealing with the chaos that he brought. So I think personally, I like for my politicians to have at least some type of foundation in what it takes to run a country.
This is good. This is good.
And I don't think we had that with 45. I do believe we have those with a really good foundation currently in the White House. And while things aren't perfect, I think they're much better than they were from 2017.
Well, I'll tell you what. Let me tell you why I'm going to push back on that. Okay? You're right. Neither Mike or I, nor we probably didn't even want to get involved with politics, because you think about politics, yuck. Okay? You know, because we see the history. What's the difference between Mike and I getting up there? And I believe that because Mike and I both are unifiers. And then you've got these certain things people call advisors. And you got smart advisors. And I think we would be smart enough to pick the right people for the job. Says, okay, all right. And plus, we're fast learners on the job. You know, it's right and wrong, good or evil. Okay, all right. Oh, nope, and I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that. Look, that's why you have advisors. It's not just the president and the vice president. They have national security advisors. They have financial advisors. They have economics, finances, so it's the same thing there. Okay. And you have different advisors that are experts in their fields. So what we would do.
I don't doubt that you two would make great aldermen. You two would make great representatives. I'm just saying I would prefer a politician in the White House.
Okay. Are you saying you wouldn't vote for us?
I just told you that. I'm
offended. I'm highly offended, Mike.
Of the United States. Don't get me wrong. Like I said, I think everybody starts somewhere.
Yeah.
So when you are running, you know, for the city alderman seat.
City alderman.
Somebody not having any political history doing that. But I do not want somebody who has absolutely no political currency in their pocket at all.
That's the problem.
Being president.
I don't agree.
That's the problem. Political currency. I tell you what. All right, now, my expertise over the last several decades here has been in the financial industry. That makes me an expert there. Mike has guess what? How did that work
out
for him?
That's what he said.
That's what he said. I got proof. Did Trump ever get a stockbroker's license? Did he ever get a commodities license? Did he ever get an insurance license? Did he ever get an annuity license? Okay. So now.
Nope, but he got a bunch of bank loans for his,
look here.
For all of his businesses. A lot of which.
Well, guess what? I can't get the bank loans that he got. I didn't get all of that. So no. And so,
I'm just saying,
okay, would you give, okay.
I'm going
let me get in here.
I'm going to let you in. Mike, I need you to take care of Ann for me right now after this because Ann, I am an expert. Well, I am an expert in finance and I'm going to leave you. I'm going to toss this over to my partner, running partner here, in the election here, Mike Ward, because see, Mike has expertise in the law field. Okay.
Uh-huh. Which actually doesn't matter so much here. I don't think.
I think it does.
Expertise in law doesn't matter. Well, hang on. Let me get in.
Okay.
Here.
Hey, then Dr. Dimmer, you got to jump in after this.
I have to settle myself here because I have so much to say, and you know I suffer from verbal diarrhea. So, I apologize for what I'm about to say.
Uh-oh, don't apologize.
It's meant in earnest. Politicians are liars, cheats, thieves, and whores. You've all heard me say this before. All of them are. All of them are. You know what qualifies William and I to co-president of the United States?
You're not liars, cheats, and whores.
That's right.
Not liars, cheats, and whores. And everyone on this panel, and I'm sorry that Dr. Sims isn't with us today, everyone on this panel has a very, very strong sense of, you guessed it, right and wrong.
That's right.
I think that qualifies William and I to take care of the masses because William's even met this gentleman. He was a meat cutter at Ralph's.
Yep.
And he would say the masses are the asses. They are. And if you don't believe so, let me back up a little bit here. If you go to social media and you read what people write and submit, they can't put a cohesive sentence together.
That's right.
That's
they can't
true.
Spell, they can't. We're going back to the sixth grade reading and writing. They can't. They can't read. They can't write. They can't speak a cohesive sentence. Mm-hmm. So bless my mother for making sure that I received at least a halfway decent public education.
Right.
So. Again, I'd like to go back to William and I could co-president because actually it's better because we have different perspectives and we do listen to each other. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I listen to all of you here on this panel and I appreciate all of your honesty when we're talking about what we're talking about here on Boomerang. So let me, I made some notes. Okay. I already went through let me go back to intuition where, Somebody's mom didn't like somebody. I forget what the exact conversation was.
Oh yeah, that was Dr. Demery's mom had a problem with one of the trustees that thought she ran the church. Mm-hmm.
So intuition played a huge role in what I did as an investigator. And again, I apologize for what I'm about to say, but it drives the point home. Mm-hmm. As an investigator, as a law enforcement officer, you have to have what I refer to as an internal bullshitometer as a judge. As a judge, Judge Ann, you have to have that intuition. So we talk about our five senses. I think there's more senses that we don't quite understand, but they exist. I've spoke about my dog Guinness, my chocolate lab. He, in all his life, he was super friendly, just loved everybody. Mm-hmm. And two times, when he was out visiting people and such, and he would go to establishments with me, and he just loved everybody. Mm-hmm. Two times only in his entire life, somebody came up to pet him, and he pulled away, and he kind of snarled, like he didn't want that person touching him. Mm-hmm. Both times, those were two people I didn't care for. And I don't think he was picking up on me. I think he was using his own intuition, and he knew those people were not so much on the up and up.
Right,
so,
right.
Yeah, he had his own bullshitometer as a pet, as an animal.
Right, right.
And I want to tell another touching story. I read recently there was a man in South Africa who mm-hmm. saved a bunch of elephants. Mm-hmm. And they called him the Elephant Whisperer.
Yeah, I think I know that story.
Oh, very good. So he spent his life saving elephants and caring for them and looking after them. When he died, when this gentleman died, elephants from that preserve traveled 12 miles.
And they mourned him too. Mm-hmm. Yep.
How did they know he died, number one?
Mm-hmm.
Are we talking five senses or six or seven? How did they know that he died? And not only did they travel 12 miles to honor him, to mourn him, one year later to the day,
they traveled back.
12 miles again.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
How did those animals have their internal knowledge of reality
mm-hmm.
and to mourn somebody that saved them?
Wow. Wow. Reverend Demery, I know you wanted to say a lot. It's your turn. While you're getting everything together, I will say I've heard that story before, and it is a beautiful story, but there's even more to that. I think what people like to refer to as additional senses is basically what we in Christianity call our spirit. That is a part of you that makes you you, but it's light. And just like the light from the sun and the moon and the stars can be felt. The light from another person can be felt, whether it's that warm, loving light, that the Lord has given us, or whether it's been darkened by sin and it's tainted more with the darkness of your soul. But anyway, that's my opinion. Reverend Demery, your take.
Well, I mean, I think, and this is not to take sides. I think it's just looking at the practical reality.
Mm-hmm.
I love Mike and I love William dearly. Mm-hmm. I would not want you guys to be politicians.
Dr. Demery! Dr. Demery!
Hey, man.
What is correct. Some political experience has to be savvy. I would not want a surgeon that just got out of medical school to be doing surgery on me. Somebody who's a seasoned surgeon. I wouldn't want a lawyer in the courtroom defending me who just got out, just passed the bar and lost.
Right.
I would want somebody who has a little experience.
Right.
If someone is preaching to me, mm-hmm. I would want a preacher mm-hmm. that is seasoned, not just someone that just got out of surgery.
Mm-hmm.
So I just say that not to take sides, but to look at the practical reality of it. What Ann is saying makes sense if you sit down and think about it.
Okay.
Now, I think that we have to deeply consider, mm-hmm. as I said, the issues before about practical reality. You don't mm-hmm. want to get yourself over to a reprobate mind.
Mm-hmm.
Don't want to succumb mm-hmm. to the dark side. Mike calls it evil, but I'm saying dark side.
Which right. is
that. And I think once we rise above all that and we can actually sit down and talk together and discuss things, mm-hmm. I think we'll find that we have a lot more in common. I think that we'll find that we are, you know, really on the same plane in a lot of ways. And mm-hmm. our differences are minimal compared to what we have in common.
Okay.
And that's my take on it.
Okay. Now,
I have a couple of things to add, if that's okay, William.
Yes, yes, it is, because I have a rebuttal.
Well, I'm going to give you a chance to rebuttal.
Well, thank you for that.
I just want to say two things. Earlier, Dr. Demery said, you know, that he didn't want to offend anybody by saying he had to preach to white people differently than he preached to black people. And that's not him being racist. That's actually a biblical principle. First Corinthians, looks like chapter 9, verses 19 through 23. The Apostle Paul says, though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means, I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. So I just want you to understand that it's not that he's saying black people can only understand the Bible one way and white people can only understand it a different way. What Reverend Dimery and the Apostle Paul are teaching us is that there are people with different experiences. The rich people aren't gonna understand their need for Christ in the same way that the person who's never had a dime to their name will understand their need for Christ, which is why Eating as an Act of Worship Ministries exists. There are some people who will never understand that their issue with overeating, their issue with eating disorders, that a lot of that is rooted in sin. Yeah, it may be a medical disease now, the term is one, but that doesn't mean that that first bite that you took where you knew it was one too many, or the first time you threw up, you decided to throw up, that doesn't mean it didn't get rooted in a sinful desire or motivation. So in order to reach all the people, you have to be able to reach them on the level that they are. Mm-hmm. And white people and black people have different experiences. Mm-hmm. You know, women and men have different experiences. I'm a black woman who's the CEO of Eating as an Act of Worship Ministries, because guess what? It's different than a black woman who's overweight than being a Caucasian woman who is overweight. My grandmother who passed on is a prime example of that. I inherited an issue from her called postural orthostatic tachycardia syndrome, but she was never diagnosed with it because she was an overweight black woman who smoked. So all they saw was black woman overweight is hypertension, and we're not going to look any deeper than that. Especially back in those days. But then here I come along, I've lost 100 pounds, and now my blood pressure is shooting through the roof. Never happened like that before, you know, until I got pregnant or whatnot. And you're trying to tell me, oh, it's just hypertension. It's not. Because if anything, I should be coming off medication at this point, not going on it. So I had a leg to stand on. And of course, I had more room to fight because of what my grandmother and my great-grandmother and my great-great-grandmother all went through before me. So I just want to make sure to clear that up for anybody who didn't understand where Reverend Dimery was coming from, because it's a biblical principle.
Right.
Your blood pressure's up because you have two teenage boys.
Well, no.
Girls, your blood pressure would be way up.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, I understand, but let me just share with you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Mike and I will be running for president or vice president.
We know.
Oh, now hold on 1 second. However, I'm gonna have to push way back on you and Dr. Dimery, because I'm gonna tell you why. You take Trump, for instance, okay? Okay. And that, put aside anything he's done wrong or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Okay. Was he qualified or is he qualified to run again? I would say absolutely not. He came in with no experience at all. None. Zero. Hold it. Zero. Okay. Biden has been, and a lot of people do not like Biden. Now there's some great things, and Biden also has a history. Because Biden helped Clarence Thomas get on the Supreme Court. I haven't forgotten that. And you guys know how I feel, what I feel about, let's put it like this. Clarence Thomas, okay. Donald Trump, Paul Manafort. I can put all of them in the same box. Okay? So, but what I'm saying is, I think, again, you have to look at, and you cannot bypass, does Trump have a financial back? Now, he was a real estate developer, but he's lost a whole ton of money. Well, six bankruptcies, whatever it is, that's beside the point. But you can't say that he's a financial genius going into the White House. His thing was properties, and his family made a lot of money. But did he have the experience to be a president? Biden, okay, has made some horrible decisions on
lifetime
policy.
Politician,
lifetime politician.
In everybody's pocket.
Okay. And look at Mitch McConnell. Okay, Mitch McConnell. Look at, you have so many Republicans and Democrats, like I said, and I'm not here to keep score right now, but I just want to make a point. Yeah. Do I have experience as far as foreign affairs? No, I do not. No, I do not.
You need that to be president.
Hold it.
You just need to know right and wrong.
Hold it.
There's more to it than that.
Yes, it is. And I think you and Dr. Dimmer missed the point. That's what, no, I think you missed it. Because what did I say? I said that in those areas, Mike and I were called in the experts that know more than Biden or any other president. Every president has advisors. They don't go just off of the seat of their pants to do anything. They look at, okay, this is the situation. Okay.
I don't go to my dentist to get my car worked on.
No, you
I
don't.
Go to the automotive expert.
That's exactly right. So
I can be the administrator of a hospital without knowing how to do brain surgery.
And I'll that's exactly
brain
right.
Surgeons I can get.
That's exactly
just
right.
Make sure you tell me about that hospital before I need brain surgery.
Well, check this out.
Go.
So that's right. Because I don't care what president it is. They didn't know everything about what it was that they needed to do to be president. That's why you have advisors. It wasn't just, okay, Mr. President, we've got a Middle East crisis. We've got an economic crisis. We've got this crisis. We've got something at the border. We've got drug crisis. We've got guns. Okay, and the president called in his advisors. And as his advisors, he said, okay, then we would ask the questions. What is the problem? What can be done? What are some of the viable solutions?
How do we fix it?
Okay, how do we fix it? Then it comes down to the president and says, okay, this is our best option. Okay, we don't have to have that experience years and years because look at Congress and the Senate over the last several dozen years. They are jokes that we are paying $178,000 each, free medical, free travel, free everything. All of those folks and even in Congress, they have a staff, don't they? Even every congressman has a staff, so that's additional monies. So what is that staff's job to do? I need research. I need options. I need what's available to me. And then you choose. And that comes from being smart and discern. So as Mike will sit down, we say, okay, all right, these are options. This is what advisor do we need to do this? Who's the best man in the United States that has the best answers for this thing?
It's critical thinking skills.
That's exactly right.
And if you can tap into the information that you need, like I said, I could be the administrator of a hospital, but I don't need to know how to do brain surgery. I just need to know how to find the best guy to do breast or gal, whomever, to do that job. So it's critical thinking skills that I think I believe everybody on this panel has critical thinking skills. I really do.
Absolutely.
Because obviously, you wouldn't be here if you didn't.
Absolutely.
And that gives you the ability to problem solve.
That's right.
And understanding your critical thinking skills and finding the best people for the job.
That's right. And take this, and when I come up with a topic, more often than not, before we finish talking, you have pulled up an article to either support what I said or what you said, or to debunk it. Most times it's a support because, you know, yeah, all right. Oh, but the, all right, okay. but the point I'm getting at.
It just got sugary in here.
Okay. but you know exactly what I'm saying. And Dr. Demery, I don't know everything. Nobody on this panel knows everything, but we all have expertise. I tell you something. I would vote for Ann to be president before I would vote for our options right now. Because what? Ann, nope, you don't have that experience, but guess what? You have the ability to make wise decisions based on the information that's in front of you. And you would also have to call in the advisors with way more experience than you have. You would also get the best advice that you have. Then you will make a decision based on that. That's why I'm saying that's my argument right there. And that's why I say Mike and I are qualified.
Co-presidents.
Hey, right on, right on.
Well, let me put it this way. We have numerous examples of people who are, let's say, entertainers, people who are athletes. They've got a lot of great talent, and they hire people to advise them. But if they are illiterate, I didn't say nothing. Let me finish.
Yes, ma'am.
All I'm saying is if they don't know the fundamentals of how to navigate this new environment that they are in, even those advising them can take advantage of them and steer them wrong. Now, and another thing is this may be the person who's best in the United States, as far as their credentials go, looking like it on paper. But number one, you got to get that person to leave their day job to come work for 4 years, possibly, to the White House. Then on top of that, what if you can't get them? Who's your backup? It is a fact that every leader all over the world, even monarchs, had people advising them. That is not the issue. You can get people to advise you. At the end of the day, it is your decision to make. So just like in the case of Trump, when the phone rings and is the president of Taiwan calling to congratulate you and you don't know enough about politics to know that you cannot take this call because you're now about to start an international incident just because you accepted a phone call, right and wrong says, hey, it's a phone call. She's being nice. All I did was have a conversation. China says, no, that's not a state. It's one state. That's the one China ruled, by the way. And you're not supposed to acknowledge them on that particular level. Now we got a problem with another nuclear power that isn't all that friendly towards us anyway, in terms of their stance when it comes to Taiwan. And we got to smooth this out. And it's those types of missteps that we don't have time to teach on the job, because it can get really ugly really fast.
Uh-huh.
And again, like I said, I would not, if you and William were in my neighborhood and you were running for, you know, city alderman, you know,
see, there you go with the city alderman like thing.
I'm just saying, baby steps on everything so that you learn the job that you want. And I would vote for you guys in a heartbeat. And those positions,
mayor, mayor.
Before I vote for you to be the president of the United States.
How about governors?
Like I said, baby steps. You all seem to understand what baby steps.
I know.
They toddle. They teeter-totter. No, William. You're trying to do marathons.
Now, you don't think that William and I could do better than both Trump or Biden?
Trump, I think of course. Could both and do I, way I know better. 2-year-olds that could lead better than Trump.
Biden.
I think both Biden. Of you would do better than Trump. I just believe personally that it would be a whole lot better to have someone in place who's got foreign policy experience. I mean, one of the things about Joe Biden that you can say, like William said, There are a lot of people who talk about back in the day he voted for very tough crime laws, which negatively impacted the Black community. I'm not saying he didn't. What we as Christians do is look at the fruit on the tree and see, have you been changed over the years? And his track record here lately, as he worked underneath the first Black president, he had to go through some changes.
Yeah, he has. I agree with
he
that.
He was not vibing with President Obama, and President Obama kept him on a really short leash. But as Vice President at the time, Biden matured and they grew closer and things changed. I think his mentality towards what he maybe had as a base understanding of racism, as he knew it, has probably evolved, because I don't think you would go from being bosom buddies with the first Black president to then having a running mate as another African-American candidate. I think that he has changed. The problem is you got a lot of other people who have not changed. They'll talk a good game, but when it comes to showing who they really are, you see the truth of the matter. Mm-hmm. We've seen that over and over again in the Republican Party. Now, don't get me wrong. That doesn't erase the fact that once upon a time you were this person, but every last one of us, you know, has that, and such were some of you in their background. That's just
we've
the
all
way
matured.
Human nature
we've
is.
Yep, yep, we all have. Right, now, right. Now what I'm saying, and I hear you loud and clear, and experience can go a long way. Mm-hmm. My point is, I know myself and I know Mike, just like I know the rest of you guys here. And I know that, and I believe everybody on this panel is smart enough to say, now you say, okay, you've got this security advisor here. What if he doesn't want to leave? There are tons of people here, out here in this United States. You've got, what, over 350 million people. Now, 170 some odd adults. You've got some pretty brilliant people.
That's true.
And I know that me and Mike, it's kind of hard for someone to pull the wool over our eyes. Have I ever had the wool pulled over my eyes? Yeah, mm-hmm. Briefly. And you know, but that goes along with maturity. Also, discernment. Like I said, I don't care whether it's Biden, Trump, or anybody else. Whatever they know, they don't know everything, okay? Mm-hmm. Biden's been there for 50 years. I understand that he's done some good things. He's also, like I said earlier, okay, he's done some things that, like Clarence Thomas, again, to me, that's huge, okay?
Right.
Okay?
Right.
And when he just, what was it, Anita Hill, and he kind of sort of planted a little seed of doubt that, okay, he didn't believe her story, whatever the reason was. But the point that I'm getting at, Mike and I would sit down in the room and we would say, I would sit down there and I would look at my choice of advisors and I would get the best information possible. Then I would fact check that information, then fact check the fact checker, okay, and sit down, what is the best option? And that has to do with any president or anybody that's in a position that they have to make a decision. Mm-hmm. So, no, I'm going to have to push back again, because also you have to look at our motivation. What would be my motivation there? My motivation would be to do exactly what I was elected to do. Oh, mm-hmm. Not because some lobbyist, because, I hate this too. Nancy Pelosi.
Liars, cheats, thieves, and whores.
And guess what? Is some reason why she gets some of the highest returns on her investments than anybody else? And then you can go down the list in Congress and see why they get the highest return on individual. Now, to do that on individual stocks is very, look, you know my experience there. If you got inside information, which Congress is allowed to take advantage of, which is a shame, that one of us do this, we would go to prison. Mm. That's a fact. That is a fact. And you've got these politicians, they are making 60, 50, 40% return on an investment. Now, but what happens? All right. And this is where most of us get tricked. They bought it up and made their money before we even have a whiff on it. And people jump in on this when the stock is already high. Well, hell, shucks, the profit has already been made.
No, I'm changing now. Just that.
Okay, well, hell, the profit has already been made. You have to understand that. It's called insider trading, which is a crime. If I were convicted of insider trading, it would cost me $1 million and lose my license for 10 years.
Yeah, and how many people at this point have gone to jail for this? I know Dr. Demery has something to say. If I could jump in real quick.
I tell you what, we're going to take another 7 minutes. Okay.
Okay. So I want to go back to something we were talking about responsibility and people not willing to get involved. And one of the first times I was deployed out of the Fontana station, I went to an adjoining city, which is under San Bernardino County Sheriff's Department. It's called Bloomington. Mm-hmm. It's not a very affluent area, okay? Mm-hmm. And I went to a shooting out there. I was riding shotgun with my FTO, my field training officer, and mm-hmm. we scrolled out of the parking lot. Six of us went down there in different vehicles, and it was summertime. Well, summertime in San Bernardino County, it's hot. And mm-hmm. people that don't have a lot of money, they can't afford air conditioning. So everyone would sit outside. They'd all sit outside on their porch and have their tea and whatever else they were doing. Three people were shot that day. One guy looked like a bowling ball. He had three shots in his forehead.
Wow.
I mean, it looked just like a bowling ball. A little 10-year-old girl was creased in her buttocks with a round. And, of course, you know, she was fine. And another guy, I think, was shot in the chest. So three people were shot. Everyone in the neighborhood in the afternoon is out there on their porch. Guess who saw stuff?
Nobody.
Nobody. Nobody saw Dan. Oh, no.
Wow.
So that's my comment on that. I got one other comment. I'm going to disagree with all of you about preaching to white people versus black people versus Hispanic people, whatever. You have, as a DJ and as a karaoke guy, I have to know my audience.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a black or white thing. I have to know the audience. What's their age? What's their education level? What kind of music do they want to hear? What do I need to do as a DJ or a KJ to please them? Mm-hmm. So I think it's more of a know your audience thing than necessarily black or white, because in every level of color, there's different levels of education and knowledge and ability.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all I got to say.
Hey, Mike, you just agreed with them.
Yeah,
well, you just pretty much agree.
It's an audience thing.
Guess what?
Color thing.
It might.
It's a lot different than presenting the paraousia. That's all I can say. I mean,
No.
There's no comparison.
You know what? Let me just say something with you. That's why I would make a great president or vice president. Because guess what, Mike? You just proved their point. You know your audience.
It's not about knowing your audience.
What is it then, Dr. Demery?
It's about understanding the process behind how people think. Playing music, and don't take this the wrong way, Mike. Playing music as a DJ is a lot different than preaching the word.
Amen.
No comparison.
Mike,
I don't agree.
Doctor,
I mean, I'm not being arrogant when I say that.
Ooh,
but
no,
there's no comparison.
Hey, Dr. Demery, I'm gonna have a pushback. I disagree.
So you're saying playing music is the equal to preaching the word?
Hold it. Not on the level of importance, but knowing your audience is knowing your audience. Whether you're preaching, whether you're singing, whether you're playing music, whatever you're doing, knowing your audience. I mean, that is simple.
Okay.
Please hear me out. I'm going to take a... Okay. And guess what? Just realize we're all saying the same thing. Because if you're a preacher, like you said, Dr. Demery, if you're preaching to a black person, You may be preaching, and you may have to preach or preach differently to a white person. If Mike is playing music, and he's playing to a black audience, versus, or he's playing to a white audience, he's got to know his audience. It's the same thing. Now, no, I'm not saying it's on a level of importance.
Fancy, that's different than touching someone's soul. You can't tell me that there's an equal parallel there. No way possible. If ands or buts about it.
Well, Dr. Demery,
let me get real quick.
Someone's fancy by playing a love song or playing some song that, you know, warms their heart.
This is good.
It's different than transforming someone's soul.
Aren't we dealing with emotions? On every level, aren't we dealing with emotions? Dr. Demery, I didn't say, saving somebody's soul. Yes, I understand. Oh, we're talking about levels of importance. I think the soul, yes, I think that's vitally important. But what I'm saying is, whatever, if you are preaching or you're performing, okay, you have to know your audience.
But Dr. Demery, when I walked into your church on Easter, did you preach any different? Because I was there?
A predominantly black congregation.
But did you preach any different because I walked in the room? I don't think you did. I don't think you did. I think you were straight up.
Our sister church, Reverend UCC, I cannot preach the same way there as I do at my church. And that's an all-white congregation. I cannot preach the same way. There's no way I can preach the same way and touch them the same way that I touch people at my church.
Right.
I think everything that I heard that day would have applied equally to a white congregation or a black congregation, because what you were saying was true and right and pure. And it wasn't, and I don't think, because I was there or not there, I don't think it would have been any different. So.
Right.
If you go back and listen to what Ann was saying about what Paul was talking about, I mean, that pretty much says it.
And got something to say real quick. But what I'm saying is, you guys are saying the same thing. You know your audience. But like Mike was saying, and I have to agree, Dr. Demery, the way you preach in your church, I would think there would be a receptive in a white church too.
Universal.
I mean, I didn't see any difference. I mean, there. Okay, so Ann, your point.
Okay, on the one hand, when Reverend Demery goes to a church and he sees a predominantly white congregation mm-hmm. versus a predominantly black congregation, automatically, in order to comply with what Paul says, you have to be everything to every man. It's going to be, number one, mm-hmm. a different mindset. But the most important thing and the difference between any other profession and being a preacher, a minister of the gospel, is the reliance on the Holy Spirit
mm-hmm.
in order to reach the Spirit, which is the thing that the Lord made and gave to all of us that gives us life. And that's the part of you that is filled with love, because the Spirit is love, and God, we're made in His image. So that part of us is 100% love. So how do you reach the innate love that's giving this person life through the gospel of Jesus Christ? And the reason why this is important is because we know that in this country, people automatically have certain biases. It's not that Reverend Demery is biased towards white people necessarily. It could be there's some people in the audience who are white looking at him like, oh, I'm not going to accept anything that he says simply because of what he looks like. Just like he was saying, he could find common ground with Trump. And I was making jokes, of course. He's trying to get you to understand that because Trump is another human being on some level, he should be able to reach that spark of light that's in him. It may not be as bright as Mike's or William or anybody else's, but it's there because he is alive. That spark of light that is the life that Jesus gave us as a spirit and 100% love, he should be able to reach it some kind of way. Somebody should be able to reach it so that he can understand at least one time his need for God in his life. So, and feel the sting of conviction so that he can make a decision as to whether or not he's going to truly believe in Jesus Christ or turn away from the faith. And that's the difference between what ministers do and what other people are doing when they're rallying you up to have fun, or it's a good order, or something like that. It's a huge difference in the fact that you are relying on God himself and to reach the audience that you are preaching to.
Man, this has been, you know what? Guess what?
Praise the Lord.
I think we're going to have to continue this conversation because, we're going to have to continue this, baby. This is good. This is real good. All right. And guess what? And it doesn't matter. The whole conversation matters. What I'm saying, it doesn't matter the fact that we disagree. Matter of fact, I love the fact we disagree because this is how you have a conversation. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then when we come back, we're going to have this. I think next Sunday, let's start it off like this. I love the fire, man. I love it. I love it. I love it.
And, I think we agree a little more than we disagree.
And that is, I think we're closer than we think. I think we're closer than we think because, in closing, I like to say this. I think we're all saying the same thing. I really think we're all saying the same thing because you have to know your audience. I think this is what everybody's saying. So, anyway, hey, guys, thank you so much for doing this. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been the Boomerang Radio Show. I love this network. Absolutely love it. We do this thing each and every Sunday, 3 p.m. on the West Coast. 3 p.m. on the West Coast, 6 p.m. on the East, 5 Central, and 4 Mountain Time. And Mike, Dr. Demery, amazing, amazing stuff. Hey, guys, enjoy your Sunday. Coming up in about 50 minutes.
Bye, everybody.
You know, you loudmouths went over 9 minutes. 50 minutes.
We had the last 2 minutes. I came in at 7:07. I said the 7 minutes are up. You kept talking.
I had to make a point.
Just saying. Shout out to my son, Alex. His birthday is this week. He'll be 16.
Alex? Oh, no.
Happy birthday, Alex.
Happy birthday, my goodness.
Happy birthday, buddy.
Oh, my God. And time is flying. Yeah,
it is.
You know, in a few more years, then Alex is going to the prom.
Woo. Don't remind me. I'm still recovering from the
first one. That's why her blood pressure is so high.
Thank God it's down. It's come down now.
All right, guys. Thank you so much. Hey, thank you for listening on the Boomerang Radio Show each and every Sunday right here on The Buzz. One of Mike's songs just popped up here.
All right.
Blue Jeans. Blue.